You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hey, welcome back to Morning Footy. Here's a look at England's upcoming friendly matches. They'll take on Brazil tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern. You can watch that one on Fox. And then coming up on March 26th, a friendly match against Belgium at 3:45 p.m. Eastern. Joining us now to talk more about England and I'm sure a lot of other things as well is our good friend Jeff Shreves. Jeff, how's it going? Happy Friday, my friend.
Thanks, Ali. You're too kind. Yeah, all good in the hood here. A break from the Premier League. We've got an incredible 10-game sequence coming up to finish. It's going to be a breathtaking end to the season. But it must be said, this England set of friendlies, you would have thought be fairly low-key. OK, a bit of excitement, not too far off the Euros. But a furore has broken out around the kit. How much have you seen this story? Has it travelled across the pond, as they say?
Nigel filled us in this morning. What more can you tell us about what's going on?
Well, OK, look, Brian is sat next to you, very proudly wearing his shirt. Quite rightly. What would be the reaction if the kit manufacturers with the US team decided that with one element of it, which is the flag of the, not the colours, we're used to manufacturers changing kit colours or different designs all the time, but they decided that they would put, in their words, a playful twist on the flag of your country. So replacing a simple red and white St. George's cross with blue and purple and various other things. It has gone down like the proverbial lead balloon.
Wow. And Jeff, this I know. So Nike actually presents the kits like 2 years out, sometimes 3 years out. So someone at the FA had to okay this. Is there going to be
someone has signed it off. Yeah. Someone has signed it off, Brian. And surprise, surprise, we don't actually know who. Nobody's holding up the hand saying, yeah, it was me. It was a great idea.
Yeah,
someone's getting sacked in the morning.
I don't know about that, but it's being immediately labelled as far too woke. It's just unnecessary. The kit manufacturers have said, look, actually, it's a twist on England's 1966 training kit, which did feature some of those colours, but in many people's eyes, that's totally irrelevant. You know, this is the flag of the country. Would they dare do it with Brazil? Would they do it with any other country? And to be honest with you, the fact that they didn't try and run it past or put it forward as a suggestion, to me, represents a major own goal. I mean, I'm sorry, pardon the pun, but they should have flagged it up, shouldn't they?
Hey,
ba-dum-bum.
Always got to play on words, Jeff Shreves. Let's talk about what's going on with England's camp right now ahead of these friendlies. We just saw that Arsenal winger Bukayo Saka withdrew from the camp with a injury. Of course, there is also a pretty important title race happening right now in the Premier League. What more can you tell us about the status of Bukayo Saka?
Well, he's had an Achilles heel problem for some time now, which he's been playing with. Arsenal have been monitoring it. I think given that these are friendlies, it's a bit like the Harry Kane situation as well. International teams are far more flexible and understanding about players needing rest and injuries when it's a friendly game. Ali, I think that's the key word, because yes, this is important preparation for Gareth Southgate and his squad. But at the same time, these players are going, they really aren't the business end of the season. They're in the deep stages of the Premier League and, of course, of the Champions League as well. So they have to prioritise their fitness. And also, to be fair, further down the line, if they aggravate an injury now, which could affect them during the Euros, then that is a big question as well. The other thing that has to be said as well, Bukayo Saka is one of the players who's an absolute shoo-in to be, not just in the England squad, but in the England starting 11 come the summer. So they're just not going to take any risks with him whatsoever. But they've got injuries throughout the England camp. And what's quite interesting is, in a way, these injuries, I don't know what Brian's experience of this is, in a camp like this, when they're friendlies, it forces the manager to have a look at other players in the ideal circumstances, i.e. there's not something on the line. So, yeah, you've got to have a look at somebody else. So Harry Kane, the captain, he's a doubt. I think he'll probably play against Belgium on Tuesday. He's unlikely to feature against Brazil. So he's going to have a look at Ollie Watkins or Ivan Toney or Dominic Solanke. And this is even more intriguing, this one, because it's a 23-man squad this summer. He'll probably only take two strikers. Now, Harry Kane is clearly the number one, but who does he choose from the other three? Because Watkins and Toney are very, very different players. They both have exceptional strengths, but they're completely different players. And the one most like Harry Kane as a player is Dominic Solanke, who's probably the outsider to be on the plane. So it's problematic. A good problem for Gareth to have a look at right now. And this is also the same in a couple of other positions too.
Jeff, I would bet that it's Ivan Toney that he takes.
I see what you did there.
You got it.
Stirring
also,
the pot.
Also, I would like to say that as an Arsenal supporter, I am very happy that all the Arsenal players that are away at camp are coming back because they all got the title race flu. Now, Jeff, I want to ask you about another Arsenal player in Ben White, who specifically said that he did not want to be considered for this camp. And that's created a bit of a stir. I know there's some background. The assistant has come out and said that he's denied that there was an issue at the World Cup, which is why Ben White left. Talk to me about what's being said in the media and how Ben White is being painted, because I know Arsenal also did their best to kind of do a little bit of a promotional tour for his re-signing of the contract to sort of mirror up to the same timeline to try to help usher that away. But what's going on in the media out there? How's he being treated?
Well, it's an interesting one because, of course, lots of fans and also a fair number of players say, you know, representing your country is the highest honour you could possibly achieve as a footballer. You know, it's the absolute pinnacle. Some might argue with that if you've won big trophies with your club. But the scenario unfolded. Ben White, who has said on many, many occasions he likes playing football, he enjoys playing football, he's totally professional about the way he goes about his job, he's an important member of the Arsenal team, but he's not a massive football fan. He's not somebody who lives and breathes the game 24/7. And it was during the camp where Steve Holland asked Kyle Walker about a certain Manchester City performance, clearly pertaining to the right-back position, which they both occupy. He then asked Ben White the same question, allegedly, and he was unable to answer. And Steve White said, well, you know, that's along the lines of that's because you don't take that much interest in football, which upset him. Now, if those things are correct, I can actually see both sides of it, because what Steve Holland is frustrated at, he thinks that everybody in the squad should be on top of all the information available to them and observing football to improve their own game the whole time. Ben White, I think his position is probably, well, I do pretty well as a player for Arsenal, and it obviously has come up against Kyle Walker and various other opposition. I take on board all the information that I get from my coach, the clips I'm given, the advanced detail, if you like, to do my job properly. So I don't feel that I should be kind of chastised for not watching every single game there is. I also think there's another element to it as well, though, Lexi. I really do. I feel that Ben White's at a World Cup. He's not, unless there's an injury, he's not going to usurp Kyle Walker in the right-back position for England because they play it in a completely different way. Walker's about pace and getting down the outside. Completely different way that he operates with Bukayo Saka. So he's probably not in a great place anyway at the camp. He's not having the time of his life. And he may well be thinking to himself, really? Do I want to put myself through all of that once again if I'm unlikely to play and I just don't enjoy it? So it's a shame, but I can see both sides of the argument.
Jeff, keeping on that kind of path still, let's go on to Gareth Southgate. Contract's coming up at the end in December, and there's been links with whether he's going to sign a new deal or links to Manchester United. What's that situation like right now?
Well, Gareth quite cleverly, as usual, has batted it away. He said, look, I'll talk about it after the Euros. Let's see how we go. We had this the same at the last World Cup, and I think because the manner in which England fell away, he felt there was unfinished business and the squad could have gone much further. The defeat against France could have happened to anybody in their minds, and he thinks he can develop the team further. Look, the pro Gareths will say to you, look, he's taken us to two semi-finals. As you can see, he's taken us to a final as well. So he's somebody that has, no question, he has improved the England team. And if your measure is, well, he hasn't won anything, then of course you're not going to be in favour of him staying. Me personally, I can see why there's a clamour for the FA to keep him because I think he's brought a calmness, a consistency and a harmony to the squad. And there's no question he has improved results. Whether or not he is the coach that can make that final step, that's the biggest question around him, Nigel. Can I see him as a Manchester United manager? 100%. 100%. If they decide to jettison Erik ten Hag, the way he operates and the way that he would work with Sir Dave Brailsford, who already knows, he has interacted with on a number of occasions, I think he would be a good fit for Manchester United. Once again, after that, though, Nigel, why am I telling you this? You know this better than anybody. It's all about results, isn't it? So international level, his results are very, very good. Just needs, if you like, the icing on the cake. Take that final step. And the squad he has right now, I've got to be honest with you, it is so talented. He's got so much firepower. He's got a great chance of doing that in the summer. So if you were him, what would you do? You win the trophy. Is it your mic drop moment? There you go. There's your trophy. I'm off.
So, I mean, Jeff, does he have to win the Euros to keep his job?
I'm not sure if he... That's the funny thing. I'm not sure if he won the Euros, whether or not he'd want to keep the job. Yeah. What can he do more after that?
Yeah, I'm World with Cup? You, Jeff. I'm with you on that. I think that if he wins it, it'll be a perfect time for him to leave. Because
what about the World Cup?
It'll be a perfect time for him to leave. It's one of those ones where you can see, and the people in the media in England, it's like the writing slowly coming on the wall. If you win that, leave on top, because it's the most talented team. They'll get another manager in, but I just feel that's the right time to move. Whether he wants to go to be a domestic manager.
I don't know. But I
mean, that's... Manage a World Cup?
I'm telling you. It's Jeff knows. It's the British press, the writing slowly coming on the wall. If you win, you leave on top now. He's been very consistent. Record is great. You leave.
But he's been the manager that has handled the press the best.
Yes.
So... I don't know. I'm not sure about that one.
You know, there's a thin line between love and hate. Jeff's smiling because Jeff knows.
That's a good
Jeff
point.
Jeff knows in England there's a thin line between love and hate, and that line's the thing. You win.
It's a really nice... I hope, obviously, as a proud Englishman myself, I really hope it's a problem that he had in the summer. I mean, he agonised about staying on after the World Cup. He really felt down afterwards, but he was inundated with messages of support, not just from the current players, but from a multitude of people. The FA were desperate for him to stay. You know, the questions will come. Let's say he takes them deep into the tournament and they lose in the final. What then? You know, he's getting closer and closer and closer. It depends on the manner of the performances as well. Ultimately, though, Nigel, or to all of you, I think it is likely to be Gareth's choice. He'll choose whether to stay or to go, barring a disastrous tournament where they go out early, which I just can't foresee. I can't see that happening. I think they'll perform more than credibly. Quite rightly, they're amongst the pre-tournament favourites, and so they should be on the back of the performances. So I think he's been clever. As Brian said, he knows how to handle the media. And what he's saying is, look, forget all that for now, guys. Let's concentrate on the tournament itself. Let's concentrate on actually trying to win the thing. Worry about me later.
Agreed, Jeff. There's been a lot going on with points deductions and everything, and now Leicester City's been charged with PL. Can you give us some background on this, the breach for PSR?
Brian, you know how to read between the headlines. I loved Leicester City's statement. First of all, said they were surprised at the timing of the announcement, and they also said they vowed to defend themselves from any unlawful acts by the football authorities. Now, in layman's terms, that means we've hired very expensive lawyers, so we look forward to a tear-up with you. So they are not taking this lightly, but I have to say, it is a bizarre situation. And we spoke about it on the show a little while ago when they were being... Leicester were basically saying, well, if we are hit with... fines or points deduction for this, it doesn't really apply to us because we've been relegated. We're not in the Premier League. And also, if it's in the season whilst we were competing in the Championship, therefore, it doesn't apply because we've come back up to the Premier League. Now, the Premier League have hit back. They've charged them two charges of breaches. And they are saying, if you come up, there is a possibility of a points deduction. And if you don't come up, and they are second place right now, it's a real dogfight in the Championship. The two automatic places, Leeds, Leicester and Ipswich, who will come up, the two out of those three, you could be docked points in the Championship next season, which is, I think that is really is a red flag to Leicester. They are not remotely happy about that. What, so all of a sudden, Premier League got due restriction over the Championship as well? How does that work? They've complied them, they say, all the way through. This is a really, really complex one. And also, I don't think that this is going to be resolved anytime soon. This could well drag on into next season, into whichever league they are playing in. That's how complex this one is.
Whew. Going to be really fascinating to see. And if you're...
It's like getting a speeding ticket in your house.
How you go about your season, I don't know. It's just going to be really fascinating to see how this plays out, for sure.
Ali, honestly, just before I go, just imagine a scenario, whether it be... I think the Premier League will be done and dusted, but if you're Leicester City and you are in the playoffs or you get promoted automatically, you don't know what the scenario is as you finish the season. You've got no idea where you are. I mean, it makes VAR look instantaneous, this, doesn't it?
It's a difficult spot to be in, for sure, and we'll continue to follow the updates on that story and, man, the other clubs that are dealing with PSR charges at the moment. Oh. Jeff, great stuff, as always. Thanks for taking the time to join us today.
See you, folks.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.